Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Decatur City Church Online. If I've never met you, my name is Tensley. I'm the lead pastor here at Decatur City. I'm so glad you're joining us this morning. It's kind of hard to believe that we're still distancing and that we still can't gather together, but hopefully, like my family, you're starting to adjust to this new normal, and hopefully you're finding some new things that you enjoy that this season is affording you. But I bet, kind of like me, you're probably still also looking for comfort, maybe looking for encouragement, really anywhere you can find it. And I've managed to find those things in phone calls with family and text and some emails and conversations I've had with you guys. It's been so encouraging watching you just be the church during this season. But honestly, for me, probably still the primary source of comfort and encouragement, especially during a season like this, it has to be the words of Jesus as I find them on the pages of the New Testament. It's so inspiring to me to hear what our Savior has to say. But the more I've studied what he's had to say, I also kind of come across some things that really cause me to pause. I mean, he says some things that are really difficult, that can honestly be kind of troubling, and really sometimes they feel trite and honestly just like not enough. In fact, I imagine for many of you, it's words like that made you walk away from faith or made you decide that God or that the church or Jesus just wasn't for you. You found yourself in a particularly hard season of your life where you had some real emotions that were powerful. You struggled with things like fear. Worry felt like a constant companion to you. You found yourself filled with anxiety, and yet you bumped up against somebody who claimed to be a follower of Jesus. And quoting Jesus, they said something like this. They said, "Don't be afraid. as if you could do that. Or they said, don't worry or don't be anxious. And you heard that and you wanted that to be true, but honestly, it just felt impossible and it felt certainly not helpful. Well, this morning, I thought what might be a good idea is I thought it might be helpful for us to take some of these harder things that Jesus had to say and take a closer look at them and see if we could really get under and kind of figure out what it is that Jesus is trying to say, and maybe more importantly, how it applies to our life and our season that we find ourselves in right now. And so to start, I want to take us back to a time when Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people. And he looked out at this crowd of people and he said, I don't want you to worry about anything. I don't want you to worry about the normal things of life like food or clothing or shelter. You shouldn't bother yourself with that kind of stuff because you have enough worry. So don't think about those kind of things. In fact, it's not a long story. So let me read it to you real quick. We can find it in Matthew, in our New Testament. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Don't worry about whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And isn't your body more than clothing? I mean, look at the birds, he says. They don't plant and they certainly don't harvest or store food in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life, he asks. And continuing to talk to the crowd, he says, and why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or they certainly don't make clothes. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, don't you think he will certainly care for you? And then he says something that feels so cold. He looks at that crowd and he says, why do you have so little faith? Then he begins to kind of pivot just a little bit, and he says this. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. These things, these are the kind of things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father, he already knows all of your needs. So instead, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. And when I hear that, I want to think that I don't have to worry. But honestly, those words, they're kind of troubling to me. And so to kind of help us understand what he's really talking about here, let me give you just a little bit of context first. I think it would be easy to think about this crowd as a group of people that maybe didn't have any problems. Maybe they didn't have any worries. Maybe it would just be easy for them to kind of be carefree. But honestly, nothing could be further than the truth. You know, these people actually had more problems. They had more worries than probably you or I ever will. You see, Jesus was talking to a group of first century Jews who were living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. Literally, almost every day, they had to struggle with where their food would come from, if they would have shelter. They had to worry about the everyday things of life because the Roman Empire took everything they had all the time. But Jesus looks out at them and he says, hey, you don't have to worry about all of those things. You don't have to get all wrapped up in these hypothetical problems. You don't have to get kind of worked up about what may or may not happen, because ultimately, when you're doing that, you're acting like you're the one that's in control. Honestly, you're kind of acting a lot like those Roman soldiers. The reason they take and take and take is because they don't believe there is a God that they can trust. They don't believe there is a God who is in control. But he looks at the crowd and he says, you do. You believe there is a creator God who loves you, who has a plan, and who is in control. So instead of filling your mind with all of this needless worry, what if you redirected all of that energy away from the things that are out of your control and onto the one who is in control? What if you took all of that time, all of that effort, and you just simply focused on the fact that God loves you? He has a plan for you, and he's writing a better story than you could ever imagine. So what if we tried to do the same thing? What if the next time we were tempted to kind of spiral into worry, We redirected all of that focus, and we moved away from the things that are out of our control, and we focused on the one who is in control. And then we took that energy that we would normally spend worrying, and we redirected it as well. Maybe we could redirect it onto some really important things like friends or family, or maybe finding ways to love our neighbors and our coworkers the way that God has demonstrated his love to us. And I bet when we do that, I bet we'll feel the worry in our life go down and the peace of God surround us.
See the birds that are singing in the spring air. They're giving everything they need. They don't worry where the next meal will come from. They don't worry about a thing. So just look around you and try to listen to the song creation sings. And don't you worry, 'cause you're in should wear, no, they don't worry about a thing. So just look around you and try to listen to the song creation sings. And don't you worry, 'cause you're in the hands of the God who made everything. Because you're not a burden, you're not a flower. You don't have petals or wings, but there is good news. You're worth so much more to the God who made everything. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So when you worry about today or tomorrow and the storms that they might bring, try to remember that you're in the hands of the God who made every single thing. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
You know, one of the more confounding statements that we read that Jesus said was this. He said, "Do not be afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but when I wake up early one morning and I take a seat on the couch and I open the scriptures looking for comfort and looking for reassurance, and I see Jesus scolding a crowd for being afraid, honestly, it kind of feels like Jesus is kicking me when I'm down. And it honestly feels like he's asking me not to be human. I mean, fear is really, it's hardwired into us, right? I mean, it is a defense mechanism that we have. Our fear is part of our fight or flight mechanism that really was part of how we were created. It's designed to protect us. So how am I supposed to deny this very real emotion that really is who I am? I mean, how am I supposed to respond when Jesus says, I shouldn't be afraid? Well, thankfully, I don't think Jesus is asking us to deny our humanity. I don't think he's asking us to deny this powerful emotion that was really hardwired into us. I actually think when he tells a group of people not to be afraid, he's actually up to something else. In fact, let me show you in the New Testament. This is found in a story that Mark wrote down for us, where Jesus spoke to his closest followers about their fear. It's a pretty short account, and you might even be familiar with it. Mark tells us that late one night, the disciples were in a boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was still alone on the land. He saw that they were in serious trouble and that they were rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus decided to come toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he must be a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw Jesus. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage. I am here." And again, this is one of those accounts that when I read it, it kind of leaves me speechless. So let's take a closer look and figure out what's really happening here. So basically the setting is this. After a long day of healing people, preaching, teaching, and basically serving the poor, it's time for Jesus and his closest followers, this group of guys he calls his disciples, to move on to the next city or the next location where they're going. And so for whatever reason, Jesus puts the group of disciples into a boat and he sends them out across the water towards their next destination ahead of him. And he plans to stay back on the land and kind of recoup and recharge. And so they're out in the middle of the water and this storm shows up. And I mean, we're talking waves like they've never seen, wind, rain, it's all there. And they are in the midst of their greatest fear. I mean, they are filled with despair. And when they think things could not possibly get worse, when they are just absolutely certain that this is probably the end of their life, all of a sudden things get worse. This ghostly figure walks across the water. And you can just imagine, I mean, they scream out in fear. And as soon as they start screaming out, convinced this is their moment, convinced it's all over, they hear the familiar voice of Jesus. And across the wind and across the waves and cutting through the rain, Jesus hollers at them, "Hey, don't be afraid." Which again, when we hear that, it feels just so ridiculous to us. Like, how in the world are they not supposed to be afraid? But I don't actually think Jesus is commanding them to avoid their fear. I actually think what Jesus is doing is inviting them into something incredible and reminding them of something amazing. I think he's looking at them and he's saying, "Look at what I'm doing right now. All of these things you're so afraid of, look at what I'm doing. I am standing on top of the waves. I am more powerful than the wind. The rain has to bow down to me. You don't have to be afraid because I am right here." Not only do you not have to be afraid, but you can be reminded of all of the things that we've been through together. You can be reminded of all of the times I've shown up in your life, all of the times that I have shown up for you and I've been there for you. So, you know what brings me so much comfort in this? It's that God doesn't look at us and ask us to pretend that life isn't difficult. He doesn't ask us to pretend that it's not gonna be hard or that we're not gonna have troubles, but instead, he says, Jesus is right there with you in the midst of the storm. Jesus doesn't ask us to deny our fear. He simply invites us into this opportunity to not have to give in to our fear. We can be reminded that Jesus is with us in the midst of the storm, and we can be reminded of everything he has done for us, in us, and through us, and on behalf of us, because he loves us more than we could ever possibly.
Upon the water, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Abounds.
I think for so many of us, it's the uncertainty of the future that causes that anxiety or that worry or the fear that we feel to kind of well up inside of us. You know, if you're like me, as long as the path forward seems predictable and seems normal, then those emotions usually are pretty manageable. But as soon as things seem uncertain or unclear or the least bit unstable, all of a sudden I feel that anxiety begin to just kind of well up and want to take control of my life. You know, honestly, this time of year is a really fun time of year normally for Laurie and I and for the kids. I mean, May's a busy month normally, but it's kind of a swing month for us. We're helping the kids kind of end school well. We got a lot of attention focused on kind of ending one season, and we're beginning to turn our attention towards summer. We're starting to think about when the days will be long and how we're going to plan and fill those moments and all the fun things we're going to do. And as I begin to think about those things, usually this time of year, I allow my mind to begin to drift even into the second half of the year. And most of the time, as I think about the next 6 months, I honestly kind of feel like they're probably going to look a lot like the previous 6 months. And honestly, even the 6 months prior to that. But this year, as I'm sitting here, it doesn't feel like that's the case. Honestly, I feel like I probably have more questions than I do answers. There's certainly more uncertainty about the future than there ever has been before. I mean, we're all wrestling with this idea of what normal will look like, and will things ever feel the same? We have questions about our health. We have questions about when we'll be able to gather again, or what the future will look like. And all of those things, I think it's just a recipe for us to worry. It's certainly a recipe for that anxiety to really fill our minds and our hearts. And yet, it seems like this is the time when some well-meaning follower of Jesus will quote some New Testament passage that says that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. And I hear that, and it's all I can do not to laugh or maybe even cry, because I think, anxious about anything? I'm anxious about everything. How in the world am I not supposed to be anxious about anything? And so before we just write that off as just terrible advice, let's actually take a look at the passage where we find that statement. It's actually a pretty famous passage of Scripture. A guy named Paul, we call him the Apostle Paul, wrote those words to a church in the New Testament that he helped start. He wrote it to the Philippians, and this is what he says in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. He says this, he says, "Don't worry," or maybe your translation says, "Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Instead, why don't you pray about everything? Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we could possibly understand. In fact, His peace will guard your hearts and will guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus." And this is one of those words, again, those phrases that it's kind of hard to get our minds around, because it feels like there is so many things for us to be anxious about. And so basically what's happening here is, before we write this off, I think Paul's actually giving us some pretty good advice. He's saying, hey, don't be anxious about anything. Instead of focusing on all of that, why don't you instead pray about everything? And I think all of us have experienced this before. I know prayer can feel mystical, but let's kind of take some of the mysticism out of it. Basically, what he's saying and encouraging us to do is, why don't you make a list, or why don't you write down everything that's causing you to feel anxious? Why don't you write down everything that makes you be afraid or causes you to worry right now? And why don't you simply tell your Heavenly Father about it? And I know, whether or not you follow God or not, or believe in Jesus or not, I imagine every single one of us knows there's something powerful about simply naming the things that cause us to worry. And basically, that's what Paul's saying. Why don't you just name them? Why don't you carry those things to your Heavenly Father? And I believe something incredible will happen, he says. When you do that, the power that those things have over you will begin to go away. It will begin to fade, and something even more powerful will take its place. Peace will begin to reign in your life. Paul says not only just peace, but a peace that is bigger than anything and everything you're afraid of, a peace that passes all understanding. And he takes it a step further, and he says, not only will you have peace, but this peace, it'll guard your heart. It'll guard your mind. And I don't know about you, but I could certainly need my heart and my mind protected during a season like this. Now, I know we hear something like this, and honestly, it feels like that classic advice that's just too good to be true. And so before we write this off, I want to remind you of this. The guy who wrote this, he knew what it was like to live with uncertainty. His life had been really hard. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had experienced almost every traumatic and difficult thing you could possibly imagine. And to make matters worse, he's writing this while he's sitting in prison. This letter is part of a collection of letters that we know of as the prison epistles. You see, Paul is waiting execution by Rome. His future is as uncertain as it has ever been. It is certainly out of his control. Yet sitting there, in the darkest hour of his life, he says, I don't have to be filled with worry. I don't have to be filled with fear. I don't have to be controlled by anxiety. I can experience peace in the midst of my darkest and most uncertain time of my life. And I can be guarded by a peace that will protect my mind and it will protect my heart. And he says that we can experience the same thing. So this week, as we walk out into the uncertainty once again, as we head into a future that feels less sure than anything we've ever experienced in our lives, why don't we try this? Just for a week, why don't we try this? Why don't we try listing out everything that causes us to fear? Listing out everything that makes us anxious or causes us to worry, and simply naming those things to our Father, simply taking them to Him, trusting that He will replace those things with His peace, that He will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. In fact, I'd love to get us started doing that this morning. I'd love for us to take just a moment and for me to pray for us as we head out into this new week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. And yet here we are in the midst of some of the most uncertain times any of us have ever lived through. And we can feel the fear and the worry and the anxiety well up inside of us because of that. And we know that those are very real emotions and that we can't just turn away from them. So instead, we turn our eyes towards Jesus, trusting that you have a better plan, that you have a better story in mind, and that you are in control. And we tell you every day, this is what we're afraid of. This is what we're worried about. This is what causes us to stay up at night. And God, we're trusting that in the midst of our fear and worry and anxiety, that you will meet us right where we are, and that you will provide us that peace that Paul promises us will guard our hearts and minds. In Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, He passed.
in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We love you and we hope to see you soon.